Ananda Bodhi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki
Jai. ISKCON's founder, Shakit Surya Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ramacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Vamsika Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vedanta Harasi Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda Hari. O glory is to the assembled devotees. O glory is to the assembled devotees. O glory is to the lotus feet of His Guru and the whole Brahma. Mahaprabhu Vishnu Pradaya Sarasubrasaya Vintale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vintale Namaste Sarasakti Devi Gaura Bhari Pacharani Vivishesha Sumi Bhari Pascharcha Devi Sarane Uma Gyana Jilma Dandasya Ananjana Shurakaya Chakshuri Militam Jain Tasmai Sri Devi Vana Anjakalpatru Pishcha Kripasindu Vibha Jyotitanam Vahami Vibha Vahishya Devi Vahami Vahami. So this evening, we are looking at the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, which is called Transcendental Knowledge, and this is text number 24, one of my favorite purports by Srila Prabhupada. So I was going to look at these over and over again. While I was in Munich, somebody asked a question. Also in this source, fourth chapter, we have the verse Sadhvi Panipatena Parikrashina Sivaya Uprachantite Yanam Yanastakadarshinaha. So this person said, here's this verse about the spiritual master, approaching the spiritual master, and yet it seems to be completely out of context because the whole chapter is about sacrifice. So how does it fit in? Well, when that verse says tat vidhi, try to know that tat, you look at the word for word, that knowledge of different sacrifices. That's how it fits into the context of us, to understand sacrifice. And furthermore, in this chapter, just before that verse, we'll get back to 24 in a minute, but just before that verse, which is 34, Tantvidhi Panipatthena, to know that truth, one should approach the Tattva-darshanaha, the knowers of the truth, those who have seen it. Self-realized souls, by this method, Pranipatthena, by bowing down before, falling down before, Paritrashna, by inquiries, questions, intelligent questions, Sevaya, by service, worship, Upadakshanti, again, and they can enlighten me because they are knowers of the truth. So to know that sacrifice, so when the sacrifice has been discussed, going back to 32, all types of sacrifice are approved by the Vedas, Krishna says, and all of them are born of different types of work, karma. One strict meaning of karma is activities of sacrifice. Knowing them as such, you will become liberated. And then he says, the chastisement of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge, is better than mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, Sanatputta, all sacrifice of work, culminates in transcendental knowledge. So sacrifice is born of work, but all these activities of work. And the sacrifice of drovya, maya, things made of matter, is in knowledge. So then Prabhupada writes, the purpose of all sacrifices is to arrive at the status of complete knowledge. Then, to gain release from material miseries and ultimately engage in loving, transcendental service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna consciousness. Nonetheless, there is a mystery about all these different activities of sacrifice. And we use this word, mystery. Esoteric, hidden truth. And one should know this mystery. Now he's going to explain it to us. Fortunately, some of them. Sacrifices sometimes take different forms according to the particular faith of the performer. In other words, a sacrifice may be the same activity, mantras, tantras, everything, but still has a different form according to the faith of the performer. When one state reaches the stage of transcendental knowledge, the performer of sacrifices should be considered more advanced than those who simply sacrifice material possessions without such knowledge. For without attainment of knowledge, sacrifices remain on a material platform and bestow no spiritual benefit. Real knowledge culminates in Krishna consciousness, the highest state of transcendental knowledge. Without the elevation of knowledge, sacrifices are simply material activities. When, however, they are elevated to the level of transcendental knowledge, all such activities enter onto the spiritual platform. Depending on difference in consciousness, sacrificial activities are sometimes called karma, kanda, fruitive activities, and sometimes jnana, kanda, knowledge in the pursuit of truth. It is better when you gain this knowledge. But that's the mystery. The same sacrifice, the same performance. In one consciousness, it's karma kanda, and in another consciousness, it's jnana kanda. And this is the meaning of this verse. And then, tadvati pranapateva. So better to understand this, this is what you need to do. So Prabhupada has explained it really earlier in the purport to text number 24, where the sacrifice culminating in transcendental knowledge is described. 24. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagna, Brahmana, Uttam, Brahmayava, Tena, Gavatatyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. You notice in this verse there's this repetition. Brahma, 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 Brahma. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times the word Brahma. But Prabhupada's translation is not a literal translation.
Literal, yeah.
Because this is how he translates it. There's a little history behind this too. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Now the Sanskrit says, when they're sacrificed, the arpanam, offering, is Brahma, the supreme, the hubby is Brahma, the fire, Brahma, who is offered, Brahmana, is spirit soul is Brahma. What is offered is Brahma, and the result, what is gantavya to be reached, is Brahma. And how? Brahma karma samadhi, and by complete samadhi absorption into Brahma karmas. the activities which are wrong. In the very first McMillan edition, when Hare Krishna had edited, he saw this, and then he saw Prabhupada's translation. And so he put something else. So he used to read other translations and put them in there. So he had some sort of a literal translation for this this text. But this was pointed out to Prabhupada, it was changed back again. This is some of the changes that made while Prabhupada was around. He did that quite a bit. So, here, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Brahma Karma Samadhana, it's there, is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom, Ramatena Gantavya, is that which is to be attained, because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, that's also Brahma Karma Samadhana, in which the consummation is absolute, that is, the entire result of Brahman, and that which is offered, all this, these things, is of the same spiritual nature. So Prabhupada is really also translating the text in quite a literal way. Otherwise, you don't know what it means. Here's a sacrifice, the butter is Brahman, the offer is Brahman, the activities of Brahman, fire is Brahman, yes, so mystical. So Prabhupada made it much more clear in his translation. Now listen to his purport. How activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal is described here. So now, what Prabhupada has done is where it's talking on the literal level about a certain Vedic ritual. From Agni Hotra, Yajna, there were fire and butter and mantras. But here, Prabhupada has immediately generalized it, and you'll see why, to the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because all the activities of Krishna consciousness is another form of sacrifice. So now, in Prabhupada's translation and purport, what he's doing, which a strictly literal translation won't do, is related to us. We're not going to sit around like people did thousands of years ago and perform yajnas. We are following a different, that was in another yuga. So now we are, our yajna is a different one. Sometimes we do perform fire sacrifices, but Prabhupada was didn't think it was that important. There's a couple of cases. Once Prabhupada when he did fire sacrifices of marriage and deity installations, he did this very, very simple kind of ceremony. And then his Sanskrit guide, Prajuna, started to read up on the sacrifices, and he read all these things, and Prajuna was fascinated by these things. And so one time, Prabhupada was going to, there were some initiations, and Prajuna was starting the fire sacrifice. Prabhupada was, for some reason, he was not in the temple room, he was just outside. And someone came running to him and said, Prabhupada, Prajuna is chanting all the Purusha Sutta prayers. And he just added that. He told him you should do that, so he added it. And Prabhupada, this way was so, he said, stop him. He said, it's just a show, you might as well make it a short one. And the other time, I was there for this one, when Prabhupada was installing the Krishna Balaram temple. And so, because of the because of the place we were in, it was necessary to have an installation ceremony that everybody would accept as bona fide. And there was quite a job finding the Brahmins to do this. Prabhupada dismissed some of them when they wouldn't take prasadam with us because he said, that means that they'll do the sacrifice, install deities, and then say that we aren't qualified to worship them. So, they wouldn't take prasadam, they were going to say this. They wouldn't, anything that we cooked, they weren't going to take. You know? So he was very clever Prabhupada to see what was going on. So finally we got the right people, and the installation ceremony lasted 3 days. They had several fire sacrifice pits, things were going on, and there would be something in each pit, like a three-ring circus. Anyway, I thought it was very beautiful. Sometimes they Prabhupada out. I remember him sitting there in front of a fire, a guy on the other hand, just very, no expression on his face, or he's just sitting there. And this Brahmin is chanting mantras and picking things up and touching it to Prabhupada's hands and putting them down. Because he was the Yajna Mahama. He was the installer of the deity, so he also had to submit himself to the ceremony. And he just sat there completely, deadpan, no expression, anything. Just the whole day. But then Prabhupada told the devotee, at the same time we had a 24-hour kirtan. And Prabhupada told the devotees that actually it's the kirtan that's installing the deities. That's what's installing the deities, not the ritual. So here Prabhupada is taking these acts of sacrifice now, and he's talking about activities. Because remember, it's about karma. Karma is activities and sacrifice. But here we say activities in Krishna consciousness. How activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal is described here. There are various activities in Krishna consciousness, and all of them will be described in the following verses. But for the present, just the principle of Krishna consciousness is described. So here's this verse, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, which is describing, really, the principle of Krishna consciousness. So now he makes it clear. A conditioned soul, entangled in material contamination, is sure to act in the material atmosphere. And yet he has to get out of such an environment. So that's our dilemma. We are in the material world, we have material bodies, we have material minds, everything around us is material. So we are entangled. Anything material, we know this, anything you do materially to try to get you out, just get you further in. Further entangled. So what do? The process by which the conditioned soul can get out of the material atmosphere is Krishna consciousness. For example, a patient is suffering from a disorder of the bowels due to overindulgence in milk products, is cured by another milk product, namely curds. I think he means yogurt. If you take too much milk, you'll get loose bowels. So you take another form of milk and in the yogurt, and it cures. This is a homeopathic principle. The same thing which caused the disease, therapeutically treated, cures it. This is Narada Muni says this in the Bhagavatam. So in other words, activities are the cause of our bondage, but activities in another way can be the cause of our freedom. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness as set forth here in the Gita. I still know Brahmarpanam Brahmahavira. How does this work? The process is generally known as yajna. So now he's using that word, yajna, sacrifice. Or activity, sacrifices, simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu and or Krishna. So now he's defined yajna as this, activities for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. That's what we mean by yajna. Not just certain class of rituals performed only by priests, but the general, more the general meaning of yajna, activities meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. And here's the next sentence is very interesting. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. In a way, that sentence is another translation of the text. Spiritualized by complete absorption, Brahma Karma Samadhi. In other words, a sacrifice, there's fire, wood, or all the material things, but here the verse says they are Brahma, they're spiritual. So now he's saying the activities of the material world, if they're performed for the satisfaction of Krishna, become spiritualized. You turn matter into spirit by sacrifice. That's what he's saying. The word Brahma or Brahman means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual. And the rays of his transcendental body are called Brahmajyoti, his spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahmajyoti. But when the jyoti is covered by illusion, maya, or sense gratification, it is called material. That's far out. In other words, everything is spiritual. Everything is Brahman. This is what the Vedas say, Sarvam Bhava Vidam Brahman. All of this is Brahman. Everything that exists is in the Lord's spiritual energy, so it's all Brahman. But somehow the Brahman becomes covered. When the jyoti is covered by illusion, in other words, maya, or what's the word he says? Sense gratification. In other words, sense gratification changes spirit to matter. That's what he's saying. This material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. So it's the veil, the screen that hides spirit transcendence from us. It's blinding us. So it can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. Thus, and here again, this next sentence, a translation of the text again. Thus the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor, and the result are all combined together, Brahman. Or the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth covered by Maya is called matter. The Absolute Truth covered by Maya is called matter. There's only the Absolute Truth. Now it's covered by Maya. We call it this matter. Matter dovetails. For the cause of the Absolute Truth regains its spiritual quality. Regains. It really is spiritual, but somehow or other, that spiritual quality has disappeared. We're in this material world all entangled with suffering. But as soon as we take material things, our own senses, the sense objects, engage them in the service of Vishnu, they become, the spiritual quality comes back out again. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman or the Supreme. There's the definition. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi or trance. Because that's the word, last word of the verse, samadhi, Brahma Kama Samadhi. So he's going to explain the samadhi. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna. Or sacrifice for the absolute. And again, the verse is translated. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer, or leader of the performance, and the result or ultimate gain, everything becomes one in the absolute, the supreme Brahman. That is the method of Krishna consciousness. Now, that's quite a purport. So, tatvati, look away, tatvati, pranipate, paripasne, upadeksha, pateya, we have been enlightened. He's done it. You just pay attention carefully to what Prabhupada has told us here. He's explained to us the mystery or the secret of sacrifice so that we gain what this chapter is called, transcendental knowledge. It's really impressive, isn't it? It's wonderful. Any questions?
What verse was it?
Four? 24. Chapter 4, verse 24.
Prabhupada gives us example with the iron rope, the fire.
Yeah, that's another example. That's right.
It becomes fire, but still is iron. So matter is still matter, but the process is engaged in it.
Yeah, the example is Prabhupada sometimes giving. He said that to approach Krishna, who is spirit, you have to become spirit yourself. Like if you want to enter fire, you have to become fire. And so he complained, he compared Krishna consciousness, like using material things in Krishna service, like putting an iron rod into fire. The iron gets hotter, it's glowing red, and then for all practical purposes, it's fire. So he uses that example of what happens to material things used in Krishna consciousness. So he wants to know, well, is it still spirit or is it just, is there a difference between real spirit and spiritualized matter or something like that? I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada and Vrindavan. And we were walking through the woods, and somehow or other, Prabhupada began to talk about how actually everything is spirit. And he said, just like this wood, wood is fire, but in another form. The tree takes in the light of the sun, that's on the fire of the sun, and turns it into wood. But still, if you ignite it, the fire comes back out again. So similarly, everything is actually spirit. So you know like that about everything is spirit. And I've been a devotee for a few years, and suddenly became really confused. So if I asked you a couple, I explain my confusion. I'm trying very hard to discriminate between matter and spirit. My big effort is to understand I'm not my body. That this body is matter. and I'm spirit, and they're different from each other. So I'm trying really hard to understand how the difference between matter and spirit. Now how you understand that everything is spirit? That was my question. And Prabhupada said to me, he said, we are not Mayavadis. There are different kinds of spirit. Nice answer. In other words, Savishesha, our philosophy is there is variety in transcendence. So this material energy is one kind of spirit. Not maybe the same as another, but still, it's spirit. So then in another place, Prabhupada also explained, he says, if one becomes 100% engaged in Krishna service, absolutely engaging, no sense gratification, and pure devotee, then the body of such a pure devotee is spiritualized. And Prabhupada compared such a body to a gold-plated box. You get a box. It's wood, but on the outside it's covered in gold, with gold plate, you know. It takes some sheets of gold and hammer it. So from that example, you can understand that maybe the Siddhadeya in the spiritual world is solid gold. And the body we have now, the Sadhika Deha, is like a gold-plated box. In other words, it grows old, you know, gets sick, those things will happen. But the point is that the difference between a solid gold box and a gold-plated box is that for all practical purposes, the gold-plated box is as good as the solid gold box. For all practical purposes. He means that even though it is not the solid gold, solid spiritual body, still, for all our purposes, it's as good as that. There'll be no obstacle to our engagement in Krishna consciousness offered by material nature. He's also explained how when one surrenders to Krishna, the material energy which formerly acted to entangle him now acts to release him. And so it actually becomes no longer material energy, but spiritual energy. It relates one to Krishna. And he said, just like an electrician can use electricity, it can heat or it can chill, make things cold or make things hot, the same electricity. So Krishna can also, his energy can use this one or that. Those are some of the places where Prabhupada talked about this. Anything else?
Yeah. Maybe you could explain the proper way of understanding that we say a Chinna Pita Pita Tattva, that we are different and one. Because we are not my body, but what is the proper way of understanding the one of the Krishna?
Because all that there is Krishna and Krishna's energy. If I say, if Hare is Krishna's energy and Krishna is Krishna, then when I say Hare Krishna, I've said everything that there is. But we say that within that spiritual realm, Krishna and Krishna's energy, that it's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. But there are differences also inside of that. And in fact, there are different kinds of differences. So, the Chitra Veda Veda Tattva particularly refers to the relationship Krishna has with his energies. Mayavada philosophy denies that the Absolute Truth has energies. Sometimes Mayavadis don't like you to know this, because what is all this? It's not here. This world is not Krishna's energy. It is simply an illusion that we don't know where it comes from, but it's not Krishna's energy. If you read Adi Lila chapter 7, where Mahaprabhu is debating, discussing with the Mayavadis, Prakasananda Saraswati and Benares, it's very clear. Mahaprabhu's criticism of Shankaracharya is he denies the energies. And I checked this out because I studied Mayavadi philosophy from Mayavadis and so on. That was never really clear to me. And then if you look and see, yeah, that's exactly what Shankaracharya is saying. But it's so radically anti everything that if people don't like to tell you what it really is, there are no energies. And one of the things that they, one of the reasons they make, they say that if there are energies, then Brahman would be transformed. Or other people think that if there's Krishna in a world, then Krishna is limited. There's even a famous Lutheran theologian who came to America, immigrated to America, Paul Tillich. And for a Lutheran, it was very shocking. He's quite prominent in America in the 60s. He said, God cannot be the supreme being among all beings, because he would be one among many, and that would limit him. Therefore, God is being itself. That's why about philosophy. It would limit him. God will be a this and not that, but God is unlimited. So as soon as I say, here's God and here's God's world, there's two things. When there's two things, there's what you call relativity. Absolute means ekam eva aditya. Brahman is that beside which there is no second thing. This is in the Upanishad. So therefore, this Achintya Veda Veda Tattva says that there is nothing but Krishna. There is nothing but Krishna. Yet, there nothing is Krishna save and except his own primordial personality. I'm quoting Prabhupada. This is in Chaitanya's view. There is nothing but Sri Krishna, but nothing is Sri Krishna, save and except his own primordial force personality. Or in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he puts it this way: nothing is different from Krishna, but Krishna is different from everything. Can you understand that? No. But here's what you do: you just say it over and over again. Achintya Veda Veda, that's why it's called Achintya. Achintya means you cannot, you just by reasoning, you cannot arrive at that. It looks contradictory, and it's, something is beyond the material nature. But Prabhupada has put it that way. You know these Japanese Buddhist monks, they sometimes meditate on koans. They're called koans. Koan, K-O-A-N, koan. Koan, like, what is the famous one? What is the sound of one hand clapping? And they try that, they concentrate on it, and then somehow or other, that blows their mind, and they enter Satori, they get enlightened, you know, what is the sound of one hand clapping? And there are others like, there's so many like that, that so the teacher gives them to meditate on. So this is our call. Nothing is different from Krishna. Yet Krishna is different from everything. One of the implications, as Prabhupada said in lecture, don't see a tree, see Krishna. But is the tree God? No. Still, when I see that tree, I should see it in connection with Krishna. So because nothing is different from Krishna, that's how we can We spiritualize everything. And because the Mayavadis don't see that, this is not open to them as a path. They just reject everything. And therefore, they're called offenders by Mahaprabhu because they deride the Lord's energies. So anyway, that's my way of doing it. Nothing is different from Krishna. This is different from everything. This is a darshan. It means you have to see in this way. The relationship. Sometimes it's said, loosely speaking, you know, the soul is qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. Strictly speaking, that's not a chincha, because one in one respect is different in another respect. But when you look at the whole thing of chinchabedavedita, it is quite a chincha. But when the mind becomes purified, and here's the other thing. If we want to see everything as spirit, or we want to see everything as divine, because people sometimes you meet many people that they want this vision that everything is divine, this is pantheism. They want to see that everything is God. Looking for this. 19th century is very big on this in Europe. Pantheism. It's still today, the whole New Age thing, hippie thing, esoteric thing, they're all supposed to want to see like this. Prabhupada said, if you want to see everything as divine, then you have to engage everything in God's service. In my early days in Krishna consciousness, we were selling the temple sold spiritual sky incense and these kind of head shops, you know, these stores that were selling drug paraphernalia, other things were our big customers for spiritual sky incense. So we used to go and service them. In those days, we were pretty tough people. And anyway, I went to one of these head shops to give them their incense order. And they say, would you like some ice cream? And I immediately said, no, you know, because it's not offered Krishna, so pretty. I said, no. And they said, what? Ice cream is God too. I probably said no in a not very nice way, but it, in a way it's true, but you will not realize it unless you first offer it to God. You want to see God in everything, and everything in God, and you have to engage everything in God's service. Because this activity, Prabhupada says, he says, illusion, maya, or sense gratification. It is sense gratification that covers God. The relationship with Krishna is everything belongs to Krishna. How do I show I really believe that? By using everything in Krishna's service. How do I show that I belong to Krishna? By engaging myself fully in Krishna's service. And then we do like that, like this verse says, the real world appears, not the world that everybody sees. Dragging around here in despair, but the world is just radiant with Krishna everywhere. That's the truth. That's how it works.
I got also from Pali where he showed me once a letter. Prabhupada writes to the disciple that also that there's not only eternal devotees in the spiritual sky, but also eternal. Devotees in the material world, like Arjuna and so forth. So when I read that letter, so eternal devotees in the material world, it means they always perform parts of Krishna in the material world. And I was thinking myself, how do they actually experience the pains of the material nature, like birth, you know, because of that eternal coming here for the pleasure of Krishna, but because of the body, you have died like Pandavas, or Arjuna, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you heard anything more near about this?
No, just that there are some people that are always coming with Krishna in his pastimes, and they don't mind because it's pleasing Krishna, so they're happy to do it. For pure devotees, whatever satisfies Krishna, that satisfies me. I'm not concerned about my own. My Deva Prabhupada writes that the only way devotees experience happiness is by seeing that Krishna is happy in all respects. Krishna's happiness is my happiness. And I don't have any other way of knowing. So coming to the material world again and again makes him happiness, that's bliss to me. That's fine. On that note, I should try to explain a little bit how the German Yatra is trying to turn the matter in the spirit by telling a little bit about our National Council meeting. This is also Brahma Karma Samadhina. I don't have the minutes to that meeting with me. All I have is the agenda points in German and a little thing, but I'll just tell what we did on this meeting. It was the farm after the festival, the Sangatana festival. First of all, that Sangatana festival was really nice. Every year it's bigger and better. Two things, there was about 300 devotees there. There was a good crowd. Not just German, this is like the Sangatana festival for, the whole continent, continental Europe. England and Scotland don't come, but everybody else pretty much shows up from the different countries. And so every year it gets bigger. And this year, Brahma Mahurta from the North European BBT came. And he's such a fun guy. he set up he was kind of the MC, the master of ceremonies for this festival. And so in the temple room at the front, to the side of the altar, he set up like a television set for the late night talk shows. You must have them in Germany, America, Leno, these people were. A guy sits behind the desk, and there's a couch, and then celebrities come in one after another, and he interviews them, and they tell jokes, and so people stay up late at night and watch them. I haven't done that since, the late 60s, but it's still going on. So he set up this like that, a whole studio with a screen behind him, and then he. The festival was, people read their scores, and people came up who had gotten their high scores in the different yatras. And then that would go on, and then he would show some video or some quote from Prabhupada about the books and things like that. And every so often, he'd invite somebody up to sit on the couch, and they would interview them. He asked me about my early days when I was actually doing street distribution, what that was like, and he got into the whole issue of people accusing us of changing Prabhupada's books, and so he really got into that in different things. So he was a very entertaining person. Actually, people were happy, and the festival was very, very nice, and. Our Sankirtan is going up every year, so it was nice that he came, and by the time the meeting started after that, we were pretty happy people. No one was grumpy, sour-faced, sourpuss, as we say. That was not bad. So The first 2 days of the meeting, we actually bring guests to that meeting and we do different things that are not strictly so business-like. So we had some presentations. So we had a presentation, the very beginning was that Sachinanda Swami came, and he gave us some vision he had of preaching in Germany. So just as a broad vision of how he sees our preaching going on in Germany, some of his ideas to make us really relevant to the people of this country, and then also from Krishna Shetra, who came and talked about different things he's thinking of, that how ISKCON can work with have various kinds of relationships possible with other Vaishnava communities, Gaudiya Vaishnava communities, Vaishnava communities in this yatra. So that was quite nice, and we also made a Arbeitsgruppe, a working group. We call it a standing committee, but in Germany it's a running committee. Sachinanda Swami in it for developing some our long-term teaching strategies. And so that was quite nice. And then also we talked about Vaishnava etiquette among leaders, and that part divided into small groups and discussed various things and about that, how to speak without causing pain to other people, and about politics and different agendas and so on. Then we had a discussion about maintaining devotees, and, especially leaders who are full-time engaged, how they can be kept alive. So there's some maintenance, is there any kind of social security, any kind of pension plan, and stuff like that. So we talked about that for a while. Sadhuja and Dalgoranga gave us a presentation about the development of the Brahmacharya Ashram. That's coming back into fashion more, a little bit, which is good. So those kind of things we did. Do you have anything else that I should mention? Then also that we had reports, the various temples, you know, what's going on in our area, so we could all see what everybody else is doing. So the report from all the leaders in the different temples and the Namahatta report from Sundar, Sankirtan report, Bhakti program report. We discussed ISKCON in Munich. They have a scheme to get a big new temple. There's some chance that they get some property from the government. They're working together with the Indian Community for a Cultural Center to which we can put a temple on. So that was discussed, the pros and cons and possible dangers of competition with our overall BDSAF thing. So that maybe there's some. We started out with a 1 euro financial loss. That's half gone, but the other half is still there. Half of that's DBT. folks perished, and nobody knows where they went, or different people know, but they all don't know the same thing. But anyway, we have to make this good. What happened to it? The history is another project, but this just we have to. We have the BBT debt, and also we still have a big problem. We have a debt in Austria. Here we have Hohenstein, and there we have Gutenstein.
Really?
Yeah, the two Steins.
Yeah,
so the devotees there, and there was a devotee, Chartreuse, who's father, a businessman, Herr Pinnock, and Hari Kesh visited him several times, and he was persuaded to basically, on behalf for ISKCON, to buy a building, 300,000 euro building for a temple in some town outside of Vienna. And so I think the building was in ISKCON's name, but the mortgage was held by Pinnock. His son was the president. When Hari Kesh left, the devotees, including his son, left the building. They practically didn't turn out the lights and lock the door. They just abandoned everything and it sat there and rotted. So Herr Pinnock finally had to sell it at a loss. The roof was cut collapsing, and he sold it. He was trying to get ISKCON's attention about this for quite some time, and nobody was responding. So when there was after there was no GBC for Austria, and so we agreed, the German National Council, that we would incorporate Austria into Germany as Anschluss.
It's a story.
Yeah, I know. I'm for Irish entry. Anyway, we're together, but we also have this responsibility. We still owe him about 125,000 euros. He was ready to go to court against us and against the whole of this kind of Europe, but he's waiting. Anyway, we discussed this. We finally, I think this year to work toward settling this, we have Ein Tag for Krishna, huh? One day for Krishna. No, which day is that? I forgot.
4th September.
Huh? Yeah.
4th of September.
4th of September.
4th of September. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's a plan all over Germany that day. I mean, we have these little collection cans all over. That day, every temple, everybody will go out and do book distribution or whatever they do, and all the money will go toward this.
Whatever the income is generated.
Whatever income goes for this one day. That's one thing we'll do this year. We got Atma Vidya here on the board in our national council, and he is not formally yet the temple president here, but something like that. What's it called?
Dinashana is a very long name, but he settled on something like acting president.
Yeah, something I can't remember now. There was some German word everybody was using, I can't remember. Some counselor or something like that. Anyway, yeah, acting president. So that was nice to do. Paribadi's wish of 20 years that we have a constitution was satisfied. And we all signed the constitution for ISKCON Deutschland.
Candlelight.
Hey, huh?
With a candlelight.
Yeah, yeah, the lights were out, so we did it by the candlelight. What else? We had a presentation from Vipula, who's the ombudsman for ISKCON Deutschland. If anyone feels they need they feel like he's like a person you go to when maybe you feel a temple president or some other authority isn't treating you right, or some of the temple is mistreating you, or something. You have a complaint, it's not being heard. You call Vipula and he comes and, like Superman, saves you. He tries to work it out for everybody. This system that originated in Sweden, this ombudsman, and is now all over the world, started in businesses, you know, employees could do this. Not everybody has it, so he's doing that. What else did we do? Something else?
You rejected?
Huh?
For bike for the presentation? Council of Elders.
Yeah, the Council of Elders. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Elders means old devotees. We've got a list, and they're going to be getting involved and as a sort of advisory council for this current journey. As Vaishnava has put this one together. Also, after the meeting, we had another child protection seminar. We want all temple presidents and leaders to take that. Some have already taken it, but so it was presented by what's it? Hari Kripa.
Hari Kripa.
Hari Kripa. Excuse me. Hari Kripa for the films and everything for people in Abendroth. What did I leave anything out? Can you think of anything interesting else? It was a good meeting. I mean, people were pretty happy about this meeting. Also, it was quite improved over other previous meetings. They're getting better. I think more participation and people happier. And most all our leaders, in the beginning, there was a great deal of pessimism. Future of Germany, that's pretty much gone. It's gone. Even Parvati is not pessimistic anymore. Now that we have a constitution, everything will be okay. Any questions about that? Anything to add?
What is the constitution? In the person, that's all.
Yeah. That's what it's called. ISKCON Deutschland. And you can read it.
Okay.
You can have a copy. It's not a secret document. It's just a way of finally becoming more organized and law-like, which Parvati is very attached to that. It's good to have somebody like this, you know. We're a bureaucratic conservative. You're very useful, actually. Sometimes it has its faults, but it's also
it has a good
contribution to make too. That's all you have, you're in trouble. But as part of Krishna's whole plan, it's very, very good.
I heard one devotee, he was one of the Sankirtan leaders in the past, and he was saying ISKCON doesn't give so much perspective for the devotees. It was mostly Sankirtan devotees, and when they were not able to go on Sankirtan, they were not like kind of not feel welcome again. So did you talk about that perspective of devotees when they get older and they're not, can spin around like they did before?
We spend a lot of time talking about the general topic of care for devotees. You know, it's now understood that if somebody is dedicated a big part of their life to us, we also have to take care of them. Yeah, we talked about it. This summer, we're also going to have a leader retreat. Retreat? What's a retreat in German? like in the Roman Catholic Church, where people go off and they just do spiritual things you withdraw a little bit from the world, small together, you spend 1 week very intensely involved in spiritual activity, hoping to gain a advancement and transformation.
Yeah,
The Jesuits, they take you through the spiritual exercises of Ignatius of Loyola, and you go through this Ubering with
us. It's popular, we just have to look on one of these wellness things.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, everybody, okay. So anyway, we're going to do that. And also there's plans for a summer camp for devotees, too.
Yeah, that's
we don't have dates yet for these.
No, that's scheduled.
Both are scheduled?
No, the leadership thing is
at the end of sometime in June.
That's in June.
Yeah.
But the summer camp, it's definitely at Singapore, and it's in July. But
So we should be happy that in ISKCON now there's a systematic effort to care for the spiritual lives of the leaders and to help the leaders become more advanced in Krishna consciousness. Because then that will help everybody. And do it as a group. The GBC is also having two retreats. It's coming here. Yeah, the international GBC. We'll see what happens. They have to leave their computers. That was another thing that happened. No, okay. Anything else?
Yeah. I did Krishna Chakra, but he spoke more deeply on what he meant by having an association with other Vaishnava groups.
No, I think somebody remember. He spoke in German too. I have a translator, but the translator.
He spoke in German, and he did a very, in my opinion, very expert presentation. Because he was not pushing anything.
He just wanted to outline the situation.
Very clear cut, soft voice presentation. And no, he's maybe he's working in a group already. He's working academically, but he's in a, working group workshop with 2-3 other devotees.
Mm-hmm. On the GBC level?
Yeah, doing almost like a feasibility study, how could we communicate with other groups, anything.
Yeah.
But also particular other Vaishnava association.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please involve in that.
But there was no a big conclusion, you should go this and this and this way. It's just an emerging kind of...
Concern that we should do something other than fight.
Right.
At least talk.
Yeah.
Fight that way. On the desk.
I asked once this European Council, who is the seat is in England, I think, or Ireland. Who is in charge of the European Council? Who is that devotee?
Pragosh, maybe, Irish.
Yeah. I mentioned that if we are open for interreligious communication between Christians and Muslims, and so forth, then why is it so difficult that interreligious talks in the Vaishnava?
Yeah, because Krishna Shetty explained to us, we know. He knows, I know, all of us who have studied religion and Wissenschaft, that the further away the other people are from you, the easier it is to talk to them. The closer they are to the history of the world.
not only a different Vaishnava.
Yeah. All different Christian traditions, Muslim traditions, you know.
Yeah.
They all have them. They have everything, you know. It would be easier for a Sunni Muslim to sit down and talk to me than it would be to a Shiite, you know. Because everybody's killing each other right now.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. I'm sorry. That's history. Anything else? Okay. Oh, it's late now. We should start. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. As we talked about the Dharma, then we heard that from my, the Zusammenfassung, the Einzelheiten reingehen, weil da sind eine Menge.